You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. With Jason McIntyre, I'm Doug Gottlieb. And let's just kind of get dive back in. We've been talking a lot of NBA hoop. We haven't gotten to the NFL and this the story about the possibility of Bill Belichick platooning his quarterbacks, most notably platooning Cam Newton. Why are you laughing?
Come on. Bill Belichick's going to go with the platoon?
I would say, listen, do I think some of this is putting themselves in a position to be successful against his former assistant, Brian Flores, where you don't know what's coming? Yeah. But do I think that there's a distinct possibility that one of the quarterbacks not named Cam Newton is the starter because Cam Newton is going to be slow to pick up a completely new style, completely new offense without any sort of preseason games, and they could put a package of plays in for him? Yeah, I think that's actually a possibility. Whether you want to call it platooning or how long it lasts, that's up to you. But I don't think this is a year unlike any other to go with no preseason games, And, you know, you pick up a former MVP for roughly $1 million a year. Like, there's a lot of – he's had, what, six guys opt out this year? But there's a lot of different things going on in New England. So a guy who's they've tried everything. They've done everything. Like, that's what's interesting. I talked to Sean McVay last year this time. We used to – my radio show, Doug Gottlieb Show, we go to – usually go to training camps, Rams, Cowboys and Oxnard usually, and then the Chargers, Rams and the Chargers, as people know now in Hard Knocks. Well, usually they're like 5 miles apart. Now they're obviously a city apart. But I talked to Sean McVay, and he's like, you know, the reason we lost in the Super Bowl, and this is, again, a year ago, was they had an awesome game plan, and then when we had an injury, or when they had an injury, they changed their game plan. By the time we adjusted to what they were doing something else. Like, they could be in a 4-3, and then all of a sudden they're in a 3-4. So people scoff at the idea of having a platoon system at quarterback, but I would say, one, it's the Patriots. Two, it's 2020. Anything is possible.
I would totally agree with what you and McVay were saying. Like, Patriots are one of the best teams reinventing themselves with Belichick over the last two decades. They've gone from being a defense-first team. Remember, then they went to the two tight ends with Gronk and that guy who we won't talk about.
Aaron Hernandez.
Okay, all right. Then we got they had the running game. Remember that? Was it Corey Dillon? They had a really strong.
They did have Corey Dillon when they first. They had Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Yeah, they would pivot around. Brady was a game manager, for crying out loud.
Yes.
And then you get Randy Moss, and Belichick is great at pivoting, but the one constant that didn't change was Tom Brady. And I don't know. I just feel like Cam Newton walks in that room. He is a big 6'5", commanding presence who has won an MVP award. He's very popular among the players. And, you know, not to knock Jarrett Stidham, he's just a guy who hasn't really done anything in the NFL. And he's just not the kind of guy. You love the analogy of, like, five guys are going out to hang out, and the alpha always has the key. He's like, oh, I'm driving. I'm running the show. And that's Cam Newton in that locker room. Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing? You know, he's just a cool guy who I think gets it. Now, does he understand the Belichick system? That's another story. But I have a hard time.
Do you remember when Carson Palmer played for the Raiders? Do you remember the Carson Palmer thing?
I think those were my post-college years. I was in a haze.
No. When did you finish in college?
I got out in like 2000. Carson Palmer was what?
With the Raiders? 2000? That wasn't. No. It was much,
a little later?
Much, yeah.
Well, I was still in a college fog 5 years after school.
So Carson Palmer, for people who forgot, Carson Palmer was with the Bengals. He signed the biggest contract in the history of the sport.
Ooh.
They were getting ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs at home, and Kimo Van Olhoffen rolled up on him, right? And tore his ACL.
Mm, that's right.
Right? So then he missed a year. He comes back. And then at the end of the 2010 season, he had been promised a bunch of different things that hadn't been delivered. And he was like, I'm done. I retire. I will not play for Cincinnati anymore. So they call his bluff, and he sure enough sits. The Raiders have a desperate need for a quarterback. They trade for him mid-year. And without training camp, without really knowing the system. He comes in his first week, and then his second week as a starter, it's a disaster. He was terrible. And Carson Palmer is a borderline Hall of Fame caliber quarterback if you look at the success when he was healthy and the longevity of that success and what he did.
He nearly won an MVP with the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
It was
so,
the number
look,
one
he's
pick,
a really good quarterback.
But
I borderline, there'd be a discussion there. He probably doesn't get it.
It's a quick discussion.
Okay. but my point was, Cam Newton's not an idiot, right? He, I'm sure, knows. You know what the worst thing in the world could be? Is if I'm coming off of shoulder where people think I can't throw a football, which is what people think, that the throwing motion has changed, it doesn't hold up. I have multiple leg injuries. I'm in a new system, and I go out there before I'm ready. Like, you don't want, what is the point? Like, it is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
I need to be the best version of myself. And oh yeah, by the way, they're kind of patching some of the offensive line issues as well on that team. You know, if you're not ready, you don't want to play until you are ready. No matter how much better you are, then now that may be giving Jared Stidham an opportunity that you don't want to give him. That may be giving Brian Hoyer an opportunity you don't want to give him. But I think that's actually a better court, unless you have absolute grasp of everything you're doing. Shouldn't go out there. Shouldn't go out. Here's the TV analogy. And a couple of my dear friends are women that worked at ESPN. And when they would get hired, ESPN would do this thing to where they'd put them on SportsCenter for a week. Before they would put them on ESPN News. Remember when ESPN News used to be, you know, have 24-hour shows and do SportsCenter or whatever. They would put them on like the big show, like 6 o'clock SportsCenter or 11 o'clock SportsCenter, though. Maybe not the 1 a.m. That was always L.A., right? And they would all say the same thing. They would all say, like, you know, it was really enticing when I signed, and I just wasn't ready for that. And then you establish kind of a reputation of who you are, and now all of a sudden you got to fix any of these issues. Now, they're just throwing you in the deep end and seeing if you can swim to the side.
Sink or swim, baby.
And I don't think that's the bet for Cam Newton, who's trying to rehab his image among NFL teams. I don't think that's a smart course of action.
I do. I'm a big sink or swim guy. Just throw them in there. Even if they're not ready, especially it applies to me. Doug, so...
Listen, I'm with you. The fake it till you make it thing, like, I've made a life out of that. I just think in the National Football League, when you've proven yourself as an MVP quarterback and been to a Super Bowl, but then since then, you know, your coach leaves, takes your backup with him, doesn't take you.
Yeah.
Okay? The guys in Buffalo weren't interested in you. The LA Chargers needed a quarterback. They weren't interested in you. You go like through teams and there just wasn't a lot of interest. You take an NFL veterans minimum deal and you're super, you got to prove the league wrong. But the way to do so is not to do it until you're absolutely ready.
Yeah, but how do you know when you're ready? How you know when you've got a full grasp of the playbook? Like,
yes.
I mean, you could be waiting all season, and then, oh yeah, guess what? The Patriots don't do well, and they're going to draft a guy, and thank you for your service, Cam Newton. Go on about your business, and then I don't know if he gets another starting job.
No, but again, this is what I'm saying, though, is I'm not saying you sit there and go, like, I don't want to play. But if you say, like, look, maybe I'm not ready to play the whole game, but give me a couple of series here. It's my own kind of personal preseason. And eventually, as I get a better grasp of the playbook and you have a better grasp for me playing for you, that's the other part is not only has he not played for them, you know, but they haven't coached him. They don't really know what he does, how he reacts in game situations, what the best thing is. And you only get that through time and experience and seeing some tape and then sitting down and going, all right, what can we add this week?
Have you looked at the skill position players he's going to be working with?
Well, they're not great.
So Sony Michel's out. They just signed some old running back.
Is Sony Michel out?
He's hurt again. Michel can't stay healthy. And the receivers, Edelman, I think he's like 34. N'Keal Harry, who could not get on the same page with Brady last year. Mohamed Sanu, who's the tight end is someone named Devin Asiasi. Like this skill position group is bottom eight in the NFL right now. I mean, maybe even bottom five. And you got Cam going in there. Like, I don't think he's set up for success to succeed in this offense. I mean, I don't think Stidham is either. I've long been disagreeing with this theory that, oh, Bill Belichick's tanking for Trevor Lawrence. I think that's nonsense. And then you look at the skill position players, you're like, what the hell have they been doing? I mean, Belichick's ego is so big. When Rob Gronkowski left, they decided, we're not going to replace him. Top tight end in the league, fine. Top three, whatever you want.
How are you
we're not
replace
even
replacing.
They didn't even make a move on anybody.
Wait, but how are you going to replace him?
Find a really good tight end to bring in. They did nothing.
But again,
they just said, we're not going to throw to tight ends this year.
Like I would. I mean, personally, I would have gone after Greg Olsen. You know, but yeah. Also, you have to. It does work two ways. Like Greg Olsen has to be interested
in
you.
Yeah, he would have wanted to go there.
Huh?
He would have had to have wanted to go there. But
right.
I just think there's something to Belichick's ego and thinking. You know what? Any quarterback we throw into my system is going to succeed.
Has he ever said that?
Well, remember, Tom Brady would be in the room, in the quarterback room, and Belichick would undress him. Hey, I'll go get Johnny High School down at the local high school, and he can throw this out pattern,
Tom.
That's
called coaching. That's how they kept it so everybody gets treated the same.
And so Belichick thinks that he can trot out this skill group and win football games. And I don't know that anybody can.
I don't think that's – I could be wrong, but one – that's actually been proven to be accurate, right? Like Tom Brady was not great last year, correct?
Yeah, he was not great.
Okay, so he wasn't great. He might not even been all that good. It's just he's Tom Brady.
And
so
the defense carried them a lot, right? Number
correct.
One defense in the league.
Correct.
They now
did
have
they
like
win,
four
did
defensive
they win their division?
Starters. They were like, 12 or 13 wins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
12
but
wins.
The problem is, with that defense...
No, I got it.
They were easy.
Yes.
I mean,
now you don't have Dante Hightower.
Four,
now you don't have...
I think three or four starters on
yes.
the defense.
Yeah, no, they're screwed. They're going to be bad.
They're screwed.
But my point is, you're like, okay, you would be confident, borderline arrogant, too, if you could, in fact, continually reinvent your team and continue to win your division, get to the playoffs, right?
I'd probably be as confident as Jason Tatum is right now with his offensive game.
Jason McIntyre, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. All right, let's get to this. Speaking of the NBA, Clippers have lost one now. Lakers have lost their only playoff game. Bucks are 1-1 in the playoffs. All right, so, the Bucks lost 0-1. Who are you most concerned for?
I think the easy answer is Lakers, but to be honest, they've only played one game. They had a historically bad shooting night. I'm going to go with the
But
with
they've
the
been
Clippers.
A bad shooting team the entire bubble
the
and,
entire
frankly,
bubble.
Most of the season.
They also have either the greatest or second greatest player in NBA history, and I know he's not what he was, and he doesn't have the lift, and he's 35. He also nearly won the MVP award this year. He'll probably be runner-up to Giannis. I trust LeBron over Paul George and definitely over Kawhi Leonard. I'm not one to give out gambling advice on a show that's not mine, but holy cow, Doug, I love the Lakers tonight.
What's the number?
6.5. Kind of big.
Lakers sets, that's a lot.
Listen, we are going to see a max effort defensively from the Lakers. We are going to see LeBron again try to get the guys involved early. Danny Green, KCP, there's going to be a quick hook for them. If they don't deliver, we'll probably see Deion Waiters. Alex Caruso. You know, Doug, I got to say, one of the best points you've made in weeks, and you make good points often, was when you noted that Caruso pulled himself out of game one at a pivotal moment in the fourth quarter, tugging on his jersey to say, get me out. I'm sorry, Caruso. If LeBron sees that video, bro, you played 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You skipped your sister's wedding to stay in the bubble, and you're pulling yourself out of game one with 5 minutes left? Because you're tired of guarding Damian Lillard? And then Damian came down the next possession, dropped a three in his eye. Okay? And then Damian just took fire from there. And I know Lillard's a superstar right now, and Alex Caruso is a former Texas A&M guy who may have been undrafted or second round, whatever.
Undrafted.
But you can't do that.
His dad played for my dad. Caruso's dad.
I mean, listen, Caruso is a great story.
His dad's the color analyst for the A&M basketball. Look,
Lakers tonight.
Lock it up. Look, I did note that he took himself out. I will point out that in basketball, generally you take yourself out, you put yourself back in. It took him a while to get back in. I don't know the NBA clock schedule in terms of taking yourself out but his big mistake wasn't taking himself out. It was twofold. It was one, you can be tired but can't play tired. Right? What that means is, when you take yourself out, if Lillard gets the ball the next time off the court, he kind of was a little bit lazy and died on the screen, and Lillard hit a three.
By the way, Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard need to realize that Damian Lillard is shooting like 42% beyond 30 feet right now. I mean, I have friends who I guess hadn't watched as closely as to what Damian Lillard's done. They're like, he's taking these shots. I'm like, have you guys been watching
this
guy?
Well, Caruso did a great job on him up until
phenomenal.
That moment.
He did a great job on CJ McCollum, too.
So,
and it was just like, they're making shots.
No, I mean, that's the NBA. Is sometimes great defense doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Jason McIntyre, Doug Gottlieb for Dan the Danettes. Here's how I would break it down. I'm concerned that the Clippers, they seem to be trying to do the light switch thing. And I don't think they're that good. Like, I think they're really good, and they're deep, and they're solid. But they're not good enough to be doing what they're doing, which is kind of doing the, yeah, we'll get to it when we get to it.
Doug,
right?
Hold on. The stat of last night, 16 assists, 15 turnovers. It's all iso ball.
Yeah.
It's Paul George pounding the rock, Kawhi. There's no chemistry. Well, yeah. It just isn't there.
No, I get it. I mean, their offense is clunky. It just is. So that's my concern with the Clippers. My concern with the Lakers is LeBron does finally look a little bit his age. They really miss Avery Bradley's shooting and his ability to guard. Just, you know, if you look at when LeBron's Miami Heat team lost the first year of the Dallas Mavericks.
That's still, we need a documentary.
Okay, so
on what happened. I've asked several players on my Saturday radio show. I've had them on. Several players from the Heat and the Mavs. What happened? And people are still like, I don't know, dude.
So there's a couple things. They had terrible point guard play. Mike Bibby was over the hill. People forget Mike Bibby started the first five games, didn't play in game six. That's how bad he was. They just didn't play him. So had poor point guard play. And then Joel Anthony was the starting center for the Miami Heat. And if you remember, Tyson Chandler was the center for the Dallas Mavericks.
True story.
And LeBron struggled to get to the rim and finish at the rim, so he started settling for jump shots, much the way, he struggled to finish over Hassan Whiteside going back the other night. And what's their other struggle is their point guard play. There's some similarities there.
But remember, LeBron in that series was 26 years old. He had arguably his worst playoff series ever.
Well,
in the
finals,
he averaged 17 a game. That's it.
Yeah,
it's
bad.
Still inexplicable how bad, and it just doesn't. Nah, something doesn't add up.
Listen, if you've ever had fear of the moment,
bro, LeBron James. He carried an awful Clippers team to the finals a few years prior to that.
You mean a Cavs team?
Cavs team. I'm sorry.
Yes, but there's not the pressure there, and he didn't play well once they got to the finals either. And
he's like 22.
You also have to remember, like let's take into context. Okay, that was a year in which suddenly he wore the black hat. That was the year which, you know, because they said not one, not two,
right.
Not three, not four. Right. So he was viewed differently. It was the first time in his life he'd ever been viewed or talked about in any sort of negative light. They also, if you remember, they won kind of game. Remember they won game one, then they made fun of Dirk Nowitzki for they thought pretending to be sick. Remember there's the video of them coughing he was sick.
Yeah. Okay.
They tried to clown Dirk. There was a lot of stuff going on.
I think there was a game two collapse right at the end. They gave up like 12 straight points and lost the game. Something obscene. Maybe it wasn't game two, but it was
game
two. Okay. And you're right. They were in control. It just fell apart rapidly.
Yes. Yes. Oh. That's exactly what happened. Anyway. But I'm concerned with the Bucks in terms of
really?
Yeah, I don't see it with Giannis. I don't think he's where people think he is because I think people just look at stat lines and he's what Colin said yesterday was brilliant in that he said, you know, it's like Lamar Jackson. You can't get behind his style. You can't get behind in the playoffs. And that's because he's missing the primary skill that you need to be great. And to win, which is the same thing Lamar Jackson is missing, which is Lamar doesn't have the ability, at least yet in the NFL, to snap the ball, five wide receivers, and march down 80 yards with the pass and throw outside the numbers. He's not there yet. He has freakish talent, and he's in a system which is solely designed around that talent and skill. And so he dominated the NFL last year in the regular season. The postseason, a different animal. The same thing with Giannis. Giannis has freakish skill. The whole system is built around what he likes to do. Right? But he can't shoot. And the worst thing in the world is when he hits one early, then he thinks he can
shoot. Yeah, yeah.
But
well,
he just
3 of 7 just, in game one, but the 4 of 9 free throws. Oof.
He's just not a shooter yet.
Yeah.
And that is the number one skill required. It's one of the things that held LeBron back is for a long time his confidence goes on and off with his mid-range jump shot. It just does.
This is probably too incendiary, Doug, for the Dan Patrick Show. But if I'm asking you, who would you rather build a franchise around right now, Giannis or Luka Doncic? What is your answer? Should we let that go during the commercial break? Yeah, I got Doug really shook. This is not an easy one.
No, it actually is. I would take Luka.
Okay.
I'm
with you. And it's not a hot take based on the bubble.
I don't actually think it's that close.
Ooh.
Now Giannis,
that's a hot take.
Giannis does really help you on defense, whereas Luka
does not.
Does not. And so but no matter how much Giannis works at shooting, he'll never be a natural shooter. Whereas Luka is a better passer, a better shooter, and has a big body so he can make up for his lack of athleticism. I would take Luka.
I'm with you.
I would take Luka. All right, coming up next. There's a new thought as to why some are not performing at the level that we're normally accustomed to in the NBA. Is the bubble the reason LeBron is in prime LeBron? LeBron thinks so. We'll discuss next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio with Jason McIntyre. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Getting ready for NBA games tonight, including the Lakers taking on the Trailblazers. Game 2, which is at 9 Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. And there's a new kind of discussion as to what's wrong with LeBron James. What's wrong with LeBron James? If you ask LeBron fan, nothing's wrong with LeBron James. He just had a career high for assists, right, in the playoffs. And he led the league in assists, and it's everybody else's fault.
What did he have, 23, 17, and 15? That's an obscene stat line.
It is an obscene stat line.
I mean, come on.
Did he actually play that well?
Listen, if his
No. I asked you a question.
Did LeBron play that well? Yes. I would give LeBron's grade in that game a solid B.
His stats would tell you that he played great. The game would tell you, like, he did some very, very good things.
If 3 open jumpers that he set his guys up for fall, I mean, we're talking about, LeBron was phenomenal.
Agreed. Also, missed his own free throws, which hurt him.
Those 2 free throws and AD missing back-to-back.
He missed a wide-open three. He also couldn't finish over Hassan Whiteside, made some bad decisions in driving in there in the lane, not knowing what he wants to do. If you want to say like, hey, solid B, maybe even B plus, sure. That therein lies the problem, though. The people look at the stats like he played great, or somebody else's fault. Like, nah, he played good. You know, look, you can get. I mean, no one knows more about assists than me. There's not a human being on earth that knows more about it than I do. You can get assists. You can get assists, a ton of them, and not actually play well.
Pretty bold claim.
And not actually play well, and you can play for assists. Like my college coach, the late Eddie Sutton, he said, you're the most selfish, unselfish player I've ever seen. All you want to do is get assists. Like, yeah, it's because he won't let me shoot, so I got to do something. But you can play for assists. Anyway, what's interesting is I think all of us are sitting there going like, all right, like he's playing pretty well. There's been some really good games, but something is not the same. Is it the age? Is it that he's been in a hotel for 2 months? Here's LeBron James.
Like I continue to say, this is different. This is different in an aspect of just, I mean, we're in a bubble with no fans. But as far as me being locked in on the game plan, that doesn't change, not one bit. Going out and making plays, playing at a high level, try to help our team win, that was the same. Nothing changes from that, you know, so that's the same me.
All right, so he's saying, hey, nothing changes. It's different. It's the bubble. Joe Varden, who, of course, covered him in Cleveland, said he's really surprised at how affected by not having fans LeBron is. Is it a legitimate explanation. I won't even go excuse. Explanation that one thing missing for LeBron is the energy, and he feeds off the fans.
I think it's a great point. Brian Windhorst was on my podcast, Straight Fire, and mentioned that LeBron won a road playoff game in 25 straight series. NBA record. Won two game sevens on the road. Like, this is a money player who thrives off the energy of the opposing crowd. I mean, how many games can you remember? You remember that game in the Boston Garden where he gave, I'm pretty sure it was the Paul Pierce KG Celtics, 45? You remember that game? Like, LeBron is an incredible performer on the road. I mean, we've seen him. Remember some of these Portland games where he dunked all over Nurkic. One of the best dunks, I believe it was last season. And we know what he can do at home. Yeah, it's got to be a little different. Doug, you mentioned during the commercial break that Luka Doncic hit a big shot last night and, like, went to the crowd and was thumping his chest like there was a crowd there to get riled up with, or even an opposing arena to silence. I think there's definitely something there. I just want to be clear, okay? This is not an excuse from LeBron. This is a fact. And we're in an era right now, Doug, sadly, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, where people just refuse to understand science and facts. Like, LeBron is playing in an antiseptic arena where there is piped-in music and, like, 30 people cheering. That is a fact. Okay, whether you want to, you Joe Public sitting on a sofa yelling at LeBron, you know, you guys have never played in front of an arena where there's 25,000 people screaming, and then going from that to nobody screaming. Why, Doug, do we hear about so many athletes who have an awesome life as an athlete? Everywhere you go, adulation, give me an autograph, girls throwing themselves at you at bars everywhere. And then you leave the league, and it's just silence. It's like, all that's gone. It's done. And we see a lot of athletes struggle with that off the court with their families.
Right, but
can you imagine what these players are going, especially a guy like LeBron?
Well, look, okay, so
he's the biggest road draw in the league outside of the Curry Warriors when they were the greatest show
right,
in sports.
So you're saying he gets energy off the opposing fans, not just his own fans.
Oh, no doubt. He feeds off that stuff.
I agree. That's part of what makes basketball great is the tangibility to the players, to the fans, and vice versa. There's a lot to bite off there. Varden's piece, where he and this is really good, he says, but emotionally and spiritually, LeBron, who was on this generic NBA court in an empty Disney arena, was not the same emotionally or spiritually as LeBron, who steered the one injured Cavs team to a six-game finals with the Warriors in 2015, or got a stripped-down Cleveland Cavaliers team to the finals in 2018, LeBron's last playoff experience. Right, like the point is the Lakers have holes. He's played with teams before, and there's just something missing in terms of energy. And is it the fans? Here's what I said before the bubble took place. I thought it was going to be a mistake because the rest of the world would be open by now. I was wrong. Okay, that Adam Silver has nailed it in terms of protecting his sport, and they'll get through the finals, and they'll be fine. But I did believe, and I do think this to be true. Like, look, it's just not correct. You're not going to get the best out of people when they're staying in a hotel for 2 or 3 months. You're just not. And that part is foreign. And I do think not playing in front of fans is a little bit foreign. But this is where, like, when you play basketball in the minor leagues or you play basketball overseas, it doesn't bother you as much. You go into a locker room and there's just a hook for your stuff. You're like, whatever. It smells like death in the shower, whatever, right? There's no, you're warming up and there's no fans. You're playing a game and you drop a dime and there's like two people stand up and cheer. Playing in empty gyms is hard. And LeBron hadn't played an empty gym probably since his freshman year in high school.
Well, there are some of those UCLA runs where they don't let, in the offseason, where they don't let fans in.
Right.
I think he played here last summer with Kawhi.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's played pickup ball before, but it's different.
Yeah.
The problem with the argument is, hey, dude, everybody else is going through the same thing. Okay? Like, that's when it becomes not an explanation, an excuse. Do I think it's harder to stay in a hotel for a month and a half and be at your optimum level? I do. Do I think it's hard when you've done all these things and you get the most adulation of anybody in the NBA and now there's nobody outside of your teammates cheering for you? I do. But by the way, this is basketball in its purest form. Like, who's better? Me, you, there's no crowd, right? So if there's no crowd, you'd think maybe the officials aren't as affected as much by the crowd.
Officials were terrible, by the way.
The officials are terrible. The officials are terrible. And you know what the crazy thing is? These actually are the best refs in the world. If you've seen refs other way places, you'd be like, you know what? They're actually better than the NBA. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think it's accurate that he's not himself, at least partially, mm-hmm. because of the setup?
Yeah.
Sure. But that works for everybody.
Okay, everybody.
And so that's when it becomes an excuse.
But Doug, has everybody been to 8 straight finals the way LeBron has? LeBron has more tread on his tires than anybody, I think ever. I think he's got more playoff minutes, more playoff games than anyone in NBA history. Maybe Jabbar has him in one of those categories. But like Luka Doncic, this is first and second playoff games ever. He don't know what it feels like in the playoffs. I mean, Giannis has been in the playoffs, three seasons?
What does that have to do with LeBron?
LeBron is used to, okay, it's April and May, June. Here we go. Got to rev the engine up. What is it? Zero dark 30. I'm a routine guy, Doug. I don't know if you are. I love a good routine, okay? During the quarantine, I really struggled. I've talked about this on my Saturday show. I really struggled that first month. Like, just
you're
getting
totally
motivated.
Adjusted now, by the way.
I mean, I am now. But the first month, man, was tough. I was sleeping in. There was no sense of accomplishment. I'm a guy who would, like, go to the gym and work out, play pickup ball, like, 3 or 4 days a week. And I had no routine. And I had, like, no purpose. I mean, I wasn't going on TV. I wasn't doing anything.
That's what kids
are
going
through. And I needed to get in a routine.
Thing.
And I'm in a much better place now. I'm running. I'm waking up at, like, 6 a.m. to run. I'm just getting in a routine. And LeBron is, I think, struggling. After being in the playoffs, 14 of 17 years, he's used to, at a certain time, turning it on. Zero dark 30. I'm in playoff LeBron mode where nobody can stop me. And I think he's just kind of coming to grips with that. It's not an excuse. I'm just giving him a little more wiggle room. Maybe I'm just that friendly, nice of a guy that I want to give LeBron a chance.
I'm one of these guys that, you read the book, The Tipping Point, Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, yeah.
And you realize there's not just one cause for things, right? There's a bunch. And I think, can you say playing in the empty arena affects him? Sure. You know, and that he feeds off even the negative energy of a place like the Boston Garden or a place they play on the road. But I think it becomes a bit of an excuse. Now, there are other factors. I think him being older.
Yeah.
He's not moving the same. I think the league has evolved some where you point out the Clippers and them playing ISO ball. That's really what the Lakers play. They don't move the ball nearly as well. The lack of shooting around him when other guys aren't making shots, he can go into a little bit of pout mode.
I mean, Dane's hitting shots from the logo and Danny Green and KCP are just whiffing. Who hit the side of a backboard on a 3-pointer?
It actually happened twice. Twice to the Blazers.
Yeah, I think it was Gary Trent Jr. But no, you made a good point about the empty gyms. Jason Tatum is on fire for Boston, okay? He was playing in empty gyms like 4 years ago, playing AAU, maybe 5 years ago, playing AAU basketball. Like you said, LeBron, it's been a real game.
I don't think Jason Tatum's been played in an empty gym in a long time.
You don't think he's played AAU ball, those Adidas tournaments and
in the Ox gym? He was not an Ox gym sort of guy.
But you know, okay, fine. Were there some college coaches lined up in chairs, Jim Boeheim and company?
No, listen, there was probably a 9 a.m. game at Chaparral High School in Vegas where there wasn't a lot of people there. I get it. I think it's hard on people. I do. I'm willing to admit that this is not normal.
Yeah.
It's very, very different. But I also think, like, look, dude, your legacy's at stake.
I think his legacy's cemented.
As what?
All-time great. See, he's top five on everybody's list all time, whether it's—
Not Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce is a clown. Stop it.
Why is he a clown?
Because, like, 2 years ago, he said LeBron was one of the best ever, and now he's like, oh, he's not in my top 10.
He could still be one of the best ever and not be a top five.
No, but he changed his mind with, like, no new information. Paul Pierce just looking for people to talk about him on the internet.
It's working because he's not top five. It'd be interesting if we
overrated.
Who, Paul Pierce?
Yeah.
In terms of what?
Everything.
Is he a Hall
analyst.
Of Famer? Is he a Hall of Famer?
Everybody gets in the NBA Hall of Fame.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got, he's lucky.
Is he a great player?
He's lucky Danny Ainge made the big three, or he wouldn't have a ring, and we probably wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb, Jason McIntyre in for Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What were you trying? You were trying to get in on Paul Pierce? Don't get in on Paul Pierce.
Fine.
What's the win there?
I know the audience doesn't care, so.
What do you mean the audience doesn't care?
Nobody cares about Paul Pierce. He's a guy who just says inflammatory garbage on television. Uninformed inflammatory garbage.
Listen, I love you, okay? I really do.
Thank you, Doug.
We're legit friends here. I wouldn't say saying LeBron's not a top five player is uninformed garbage.
By the way, I know a couple guys who played in a poker game out here in LA with him, and they said he is, you know. What's your line about, if you go to a poker table and you realize they're, you know, I'm going to butcher it, but bottom line is he's not a good poker player, or so my friends say who are good at poker.
Okay. That doesn't mean he's not a great basketball player.
I'm just taking random shots at Paul Pierce. It's too early in the morning for that.
Giannis or Luka? You're going to start a franchise. Where do you go?
I'm going to go Luka. You know, I know that's going to seem incendiary given the fact that Giannis is about to win his second MVP. He's probably going to be the first player since Olajuwon and Jordan to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same season. But like you said earlier, the NBA is evolving. And it's at the point now where it's, you know, it's 3-and-D, it's pick and roll and take open threes, and Luka does that and Giannis does not. I mean, we're seeing this Houston OKC series. I did a write-up for foxsports.com about how to gamble on the NBA first round of the playoffs. And essentially, OKC Houston comes down to a math equation. Houston takes a million threes. OKC, they don't take a million threes. And if OKC's mid-ranges hit, it may not even matter because Houston's going to bomb 40, 50, 60 threes a game. And in this scenario, 2020 NBA, 21 next year, I'm going with Luka over Giannis. I mean, I don't know, Luka. Doug, there's not a lot of guys I'd take over Luka at this point. He's 21.
No, look. I think the question for Luka is there's a little bit of the same question of Zion in terms of like does this guy have a bad body, right? Like Luka does have he for a great basketball player, he does seem to be a little thick in the middle at 21. Now maybe he continues to trim up or whatever, and it doesn't affect him now, and he's not so it's not like Zion where he's so explosive. You feel like you know he's too explosive for his body. He's not. So part of the big body I actually like because I think it can take the physicality of and he can play, you know, at the elbow. He can play in the post. He can use his body to create space. I'm a little concerned about his body overall. But otherwise,
so if you're concerned for Luka's body, what is your level of concern for Zion's body?
Major concern.
Massive. Holy
major
cow.
Concern. Major concern. Like, look, one of the reasons LeBron is LeBron is because up until last year, he never got hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, he invests a ton of money, time, and effort, maybe a little bit too much so at times, into his body. And you'd be surprised at how some guys don't. You know, some guys don't really totally kind of buy into it. So I would take Luka, and it's because you're not going to teach a 30-year-old man to become – can you teach him? Can he get to a place where he makes shots? Yes. Is he going to be a shooter at that point? No. No.
His feel for the game and his basketball IQ are like unmatched right now in the league.
Luka?
Yeah, he sees stuff that
I don't know if it's unmatched. I think
who's got the vision he does?
I mean, all the best.
The court
James
sense.
Harden has great vision. LeBron James.
James
has
Harden
great
does
vision.
Have great vision.
You know,
he's a little more ISO heavy, I think, than Luka. A quick note on, you know, I guess where this is headed with Luka. Like, What is the sky the limit? Can this guy be an all-time great, or are we going a little overboard based on a couple games in the bubble?
I think he'd be a great player. I mean, like, all-time great, like, let's get to where you, like, win a couple playoff series.
Win a couple playoff series.
Like, you continue to play this well going forward. You have to elevate players around you. Like,
I haven't
like,
thought
because what people all say, like, look, he's Larry Bird, and shooting, passing, scoring, yeah, Larry was a much better, a great rebounder. But more than anything, like Larry Bird took like a 20, I'm going to say like a 21 win yeah. Celtic team. They won like 60 games his rookie year. Like he, winning followed him. Now, the Mavericks are much better now, obviously, and Luka's a huge part of it. But is he that much of a winning player in comparison to other guys?
This just hit me, Doug. Oh, boy. Is the hype for Luka? Oh, boy. Does it have to do with we haven't seen a white guy, a European guy, you know, do this kind of thing in the league in a while?
I mean, think about it. I'd like to think
there was Larry Bird.
I'd like to think it's not like we like white guys don't get credit for European white guys. Right? It's just not.
So
no one's ever said
like Dirk
was a white guy. Dirk's German. Even Steve Nash is Canadian. It doesn't even count.
Nash.
Doesn't
I mean,
even
like
count.
The league hasn't had a great white guy in a while.
Hasn't. You're right. No, hasn't. I mean, Dirk was the last great player with white skin.
Nash. Yeah. Nash and Dirk, right around.
Right.
Yeah.
But Dirk won the MVP after Nash won the MVP and he won championship. I don't think it has anything to do with him being white, to be totally honest with you. I just think it has to do with the fact that he's young and he's awesome. And
That's fair. I do wonder, and this is probably maybe for the next segment if you want to, but is it rough for the league that the two brightest stars right now are Giannis and Luka Doncic, who are, you know, non-Americans?
A little hockey to it. I mean, Lillard's a pretty big star, and he's from Oakland.
Right, but okay.
Kevin Durant's not playing. Steph Curry's not playing. So
yeah.
There's a bunch.
Need those guys back, yeah.
The Clippers lost last night. Is it more about the Mavs or the Clips? Find out next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.